Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This episode brought to you in part by Simply Safe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about home break-ins ever again. Just go to simplysafe.com/Adam, choose the exact sensors you need, and get help from their experts, and it'll show up at your house. You'll get set up in, like I said, about 30 minutes. You get a custom system and a free security camera at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, we will take some calls. I have some important thoughts for you. Also, we'll do a round of liked tweets, which I think you'll find very enjoyable, tweets people send me and that I like. So I'll reply on the air. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Will you do one or the other? And you work hard. How about you bundle those policies? How about you get your homeowners or your renter's insurance and you bundle it up with your automotive policy? Geico makes it easy to do. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is at geico.com.
Hey, what's up? I'm Breezy. I'm an actor, artist, a rapper. I am an entertainer, and I star on the hit TV show All American.
Doug Ellen. I created a small hit show. You may have heard of it. It's called Entourage.
Actually, Doug is kind of a big deal. We want you to check out our new podcast called Hollywood Waves. Each week, we're pulling back the curtain on Hollywood to give you VIP access to what's really going on down here. We're going to tell you where to eat, what to see, who to meet. And between the two of us, we've definitely seen it all.
And we've eaten it all. Breezy, we're going to watch favorite movies of all time, from Airplane to Soul Plane. Maybe. I can't wait to hear what you think. And our friends in the business, writers, directors, restaurateurs, actors.
And I'm super, super excited. I have so much to learn. And I'm new to Hollywood. Doug's been here forever.
And it's so sad because I am old. I made a movie called Fat Beach in 1996 for $100,000.
Fat Beach is definitely one of my favorite movies. Yeah. I don't care what Doug says. Long live Fat Beach.
I appreciate that
Check
a lot.
Check out our new podcast, Hollywood Ways, with Doug Ellen and me, Breezy, coming soon to all podcast platforms.
September 9th.
Let's go.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Cypress Hill, Be Real, with Gina Grad on news, Balt Bryan on sound effects, and we'll go over some of Adam's liked tweets. And now, same in the membrane, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Manage to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Stone Frame. I love that about you, Regina Grant.
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Simcha Tov, Mazel Tov. You'll be dancing.
All right. Man, I was going through Be Real's bio. It is insane in the membrane,
yeah,
everyone.
Say
the
least.
I mean, some of the highlights, well, you guys all know Cypress Hill, but he was on Loveline for 13 appearances, by the way.
Well, how about that?
While I was there.
Why is that?
I don't know. They're tied. We're tied with the band 311.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go two things. I'm going to go local.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go kind of friends of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're just like,
nice guys.
Nice guys. Come on in. I mean, that's...
They never took you to Poo Poo Town or Poo Poo City.
No, but Be Real did give me a big bag of weed
there
once in the parking lot after the show.
Sure was Be
that's
Real?
That's the neighborly thing to do.
Yeah, when I... Yeah, no, you're right. Pat Boone did that
okay.
when he came in.
I have to ask the tough question.
I always transpose those two.
Sure.
You know, back when I used to smoke weed, it was always hard to find weed. Mm. We would do something that nobody ever does anymore in the pots amongst the weed heads. And although Dawson probably had a few bouts of this.
I'm curious.
I would love, because, and now pot is just ubiquitous and it's powerful and it's just everywhere. But there are a few things we used to have to do. You used to have to separate your weed, get Dark Side of the Moon. Was that a double record? I think what
the wall. Yeah.
The wall.
The wall was a double record. The wall. Dark Side was just a single album. Yeah.
All right. That wasn't an insane thought.
It's insane in the membrane.
Very well could have been.
You had to separate the seed and the shake.
You had to get shake. You had to do that. But the thing, the behavior that no pot smoker engages in anymore that we had to do back in the day, scrape for resins.
Oh, my God.
Dawson, you must have scraped for resins in your day.
There are two reasons why you scrape for resin. One, the most important is you're out of weed.
Yes.
So you're going to smoke the resin.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But the second one is you had to clean your shitty aluminum pipe.
And how many of our parents' home faucets no longer have screens in them? My mom doesn't. Oh. She doesn't even know it.
Oh, because
no aerator. Because
you had
using
to put
it
over the
bowl.
Pipe. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we moved into a brand new house when I was 14, and all of a sudden, the bathroom sink just doesn't work anymore. I don't know what happened, Dad.
And what happened to her Lubriderm? She bought the big Costco 2-gallon squeeze top chub pack.
Next thing you know,
now it's gone.
It's already found.
Yeah, those are the two things you should be looking at. Mm-hmm. What happened to the lube and what happened to the aerator? Yeah, I should have thought of that when I was trying to smoke pot out of my dad's trumpet mouthpiece back in the day.
Perfect.
But we used to have to scrape for resins. Mm-hmm. Someone you knew had weed, but it was a conversation. Was he out? Did he have it? You're going to meet him at the park. Then I stopped smoking weed, and everyone just handed me bags of weed.
Yes.
The second I announced in my head, I'm not smoking weed anymore. Bang. Boom. Edibles everywhere on the road. Just everyone just handing me stuff. So Be Real handed me a big bag of weed.
Good.
And it was so, the weed is good when you can smell the weed without burning the weed. Mm, when it's just taken up, it's engulfed the inside of the car and no match has been struck.
Yeah. Also, can I tell you, I don't think I've ever mentioned this, and I swear it's true, even though it doesn't sound like it. We used to have to go down to some seedy neighborhood in Kansas City in high school, allegedly, to this guy who called himself Doc. And I never found out his real name, but he was older than us. He was like some dropout and he was in his 20s. And you have to buy it from Doc. And then, of course, you have to hang out at Doc's house and give him some. So he had the full velvet, dark light velvet posters everywhere.
Yeah.
And, we'd put on, whatever music. And then you had to smoke your first bowl with Doc or he wouldn't let you leave.
I don't know. My mind just jumped here, but it was also so easy to have a cool pad. Like when I was young, all you needed was like a futon on the floor and something you stole from a liquor store. Like, hey, it's the Budweiser man cardboard cutout. That would just be in the corner. Right, and it's like, that dude's got a killer pad. It's like, he does or he stole something from a dumpster at a 7-Eleven.
Road signs. If you had a road sign at one way, no left turn, you were living large.
He has his own Spuds McKenzie.
So Be Real's mom escaped from Cuba in 1968.
On the way you would assume she escaped. I think by raft.
On a raft, got picked up by like a fishing boat or something like that. Was a political prisoner, was in prison, but had an uncle who worked as like a prison guard and got her out. Real shit. Dad was involved with something and it got him shot like 12 times, the dad did. I'm just going off of memory now. Then they caught the guy. Well, Kalen has all the nuts
on
the
bio. Says dad was secretive and was shot 12 times.
Yeah.
Leaves a lot to the imagination.
Yeah, I was going to say the bio's secretive.
Also, one or the other, because it's hard to keep a lid on being shot 12 times.
Indeed.
But the guy, the dad, Be Real's dad, survived, but the guy who shot him after he got out of prison, I guess, had a party and had a heart attack and died. just kind of poetic justice.
All's well that ends well.
Be Real was shot. Everyone was shot. It's a very it's a fascinating story. So we'll get into that with him as well. I was watching TV today, and one of my favorite doctors popped up. Now we're living
the doc who gave Gina her weed.
Different doc, okay. And we're living in the age of Fauci. But yeah. I like Dr. Bodden.
Dr. Bodden.
I don't think I know. Oh, well, yeah. The name, of course, sounds familiar.
He's the forensic guy. He's the autopsy guy.
Okay.
And
I was
sure.
Like, oh, I haven't seen Bodden in a while. And he was doing the whole process with the young blonde woman whose body
Gabrielle
was found
Petito.
And getting into all the nuts and the bolts of that. But I thought to myself, I'm not that interested in this story, but I am interested in a story that Dr. Bodden told me about 20 years ago when he was on Autopsy.
Okay.
A very fascinating HBO show from back in the day. And it's one that's always stuck with me. So
when you say told you, you mean you watched it while drinking whiskey.
He thinks the TV's talking to him.
It's much.
He looks right at me.
Look, you guys go through life how you want to go through life, but I feel like, you know, when USC scores, you say we scored.
That's right. You're not
on the squad, but it feels better.
We stumbled upon a dead body.
That's right.
Bodden spoke to me.
Right.
And here's a story he shared. Chris, do you have
Yeah,
that?
So he was talking, they were talking on the show Autopsy about Count Carl von Kosel, a German radiology technologist who then went over to Key West to help out with the tuberculosis patients.
What's
in 1930. Count Carl von Kosel. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, he got a patient named Elena Milagro, a Cuban-American. And she was super hot.
fell
in love with her and was trying to help her. And while he's helping her, like shower her with gifts and profess his love to her, she died anyway. And then 2 years after her death, he goes and digs up her body.
Oh boy!
Takes it home and stores the body at his house. And he's seen like dancing with it in the window.
Oh, no.
And,
oh my God.
And then her sister comes up and because she's heard rumors that he's been doing that, identifies the body, calls the authorities, and this is kind of, I'll just let Dr. Bodden take over the rest of what he did with the body.
At the autopsy, the doctors found that she was basically a decayed corpse. Just fragments of skin, no blood. And bones that were held together by piano wire. She had glass eyes and a wig made out of her own hair that had fallen out over the years as she decayed.
Okay.
Hang on, Gina.
As her skin deteriorated, he would replace it with oiled silk and wax.
Wow.
He used perfume to cover up the odor of the decomposition process.
Sure. Good to know.
As the pathologist continued the autopsy, they found that he had inserted a vaginal tube inside of the body.
Where?
So that sexual intercourse could be performed.
Oh. Fucking A.
But you like Bodden? He doesn't break.
He's a complicated guy.
He's not like one of these SNL cast members who starts busting off halfway into the bit.
I thought Jimmy Fallon.
He's just keeping it straight. Talking to me through the TV set, talking about the silk vaginal tube that was installed. Yes.
Yeah, and
that's
Count was a. He was found mentally competent to stand trial.
Good.
But the case was eventually dropped and released due to statute of limitations.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I do believe at some point they confiscated the remains.
I'd like to think so.
And they reburied the remains.
Well, first they put it on display for a little bit, and like thousands of people would come to see these remains because they were famous now. Jesus. And then they buried it.
Wait, what year is this? Is
well, she died in 1930, so like 33-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So they put her remains on
display. Anyone who thinks weirdos are new,
right?
Open a history
we got a
book.
Benchmark.
Yeah.
And then they buried her in a secret location, so he would never be able to dig her up again.
Oh, I thought he went for round two. But
So there are rumors that he did find it, and when he died with a new body, like in the arms of a new body. But there's a lot of mixed reports about that.
You got to go for cremation. He's
got a type.
No greater argument for the Neptune Society. Yeah. I mean, they should really be putting this on their brochure.
Dislikes heart disease.
Do you want this potentially to happen to a loved one?
No.
At this point, what's the argument against cremation? Like, your body's just gonna rot. What kind of honor is that?
I feel like Jews have an argument against
what
it.
What is it?
Really?
Well, it's just against the religion?
No, you can't cremate bodies because...
talking about the ovens and Hitler.
It's a reference to the Holocaust.
Serious question. I'm ignorant on this. Is that a result of the Holocaust?
I think so.
Or is that a religious tenet of Judaism?
It would make sense that it was religious since you're not supposed to have your body desecrated in any way, a.k.a. ear pierces and nose jobs and tattoos. But I think the publicness movement came out of the Holocaust.
Or it pre-existed, and this movement, and Hitler knew about
it. Wait a second.
Thought, you want to be super evil or just evil?
That's not out of the question.
That's true.
I'm being serious.
Well, you can look that one up. I don't know where the Holocaust and the cremation, everything came about. But I got to say, if I was one of the cops that happened onto the scene and found the body, all held together with piano wire and a wig made of her own hair and vaginal tubing, I'd be upset, but somewhat impressed. This guy's ambitious.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And industrious.
Got a Rube Goldberg type
over
here.
This is the kind of guy you want painting your house. It's not going to be one of those guys that just goes right by the light switch cover. Yep. He's going to pop it off, paint behind it, and then replace it. And he'll probably get the screws facing the slots going the right direction.
Thorough. Attention to detail.
Yeah.
So ingenious.
Now, it's sad that I have to sit home and see Dr. Bodden today and go, I remember that guy.
Remember what he did?
I remember
what
the story.
What did you say when he told you that?
I was shocked and appalled, but I just maybe we need to hear the last 20 seconds again if we can. I like the idea. There's two things I like. I like the idea that he didn't crack, and I also like the idea that halfway into this, Gina thought she was at her saturation point. But you didn't know.
Didn't know what was coming.
Didn't know we could get deeper.
I know the count was coming.
It stepped up.
Yeah. Then this. All right. We'll see if we can find just the last 20.
He used perfume to cover up the odor of the decomposition process. As the pathologist continued the autopsy, they found that he had inserted a vaginal tube inside of the body so that sexual intercourse could be performed.
Is it an autopsy at that point?
All right. Oh, God.
Jesus
what
Christ.
What a job. And what about Dr. Bodden? You want to have a beer with that guy? Do we appreciate him?
Yeah, I appreciate him.
But then what got him into that? What drove him? Does he have some dark secrets?
I wouldn't want him to be a family member because while I'm grieving over the loss of someone, he would give me the play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
I find those guys like that, coroners, even military guys that can compartmentalize really well when they're talking about horrific things they've seen. We see it all the time in Hobo Power. There's and this happened. Anyway, I'm a teacher.
And I think morticians get a bad rap. I mean, somebody's got to do the job.
Yeah, I agreed.
Well, when they were covering the story, the public mood was generally sympathetic to him, who everyone viewed as an eccentric romantic.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Charming.
Again.
A different time.
Can't judge. All right. Keith, speaking of sad stories, 42 Oregon.
Yeah. Hey, Ace. Gina, Bald. Hi. How are you guys doing?
Yeah. So I'm reading your question up on the screen. We were talking about fentanyl, and we're trying to figure out how it worked and what happened. And I'm reading here that your son overdosed a year ago. Boy. So we're sad to hear that. But tell us what you know.
So, what I know is that he took a pill that, thought Percocet, and ended up being, I found him on Sunday morning, October 4th, and he had had a friend who died of the same thing about, the February before. It was just kind of rampant in our area. And, after this, Ben Westhoff has a book. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. Yeah. It's called Fentanyl Inc. He's done quite a bit of research into fentanyl, and It's legally manufactured in China and then brought into Mexico, and that's kind of how it comes into the United States, is that it's being legally manufactured there. And whenever it becomes illegal, they change a few things in it, and, you know, in the compounds, because it's something that they make in a lab. You know, it's not something that you grow. And so, yeah, that's the reason why. And because of his perception of it is because of the crackdown on LSD, cocaine, things like that, is that people are going to continue manufacturing this stuff, and they're just going to find a way to bring it in. Mm-hmm. And fentanyl is the easiest way to do it now. And so almost everything is getting cut with this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's go ahead.
Well, a couple of things. So I've spoken to experts who say that not only is China bringing it in, but they're setting it up in Mexico, the labs. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Also, think about China. Now, China, that's not a place where you can sort of let your freak flag fly. Like,
no. No sissy boys on TV anymore.
You
now.
Don't get to do stuff that they don't want you to do. So if there's a fentanyl lab and China's aware of it, then if they wanted to shut it down, then maybe they could, or surely they could. Is this part of China's sort of 100-year prospect? You know, China's thing is like, well, we'll take over the world, but we're not going to, we'll slow boat it, but we're taking over the world. Isn't it nice for China that basically the country that's sort of standing in between them and their wish to take over the world is either beaked up on fentanyl or basically having a race argument, like the entire, like they have to see us just arguing about race and then with an open border and ODing on fentanyl. Like, is this, do you think this is part of their sort of grander plan? It's a lot easier than, you know, bombers and rockets.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, the thing is that the U.S. is so, one of the things he talks about in his book is that there is companies that make test strips for this stuff. I mean, that you can get, Dance Safe is the name of it, and you can purchase stuff to test your drugs to make sure that they don't have fentanyl in them. I mean, I'm sure that China is happy to make money. The understanding that I have is that they don't have a fentanyl problem, so they're not worried about what's being shipped out. I mean, they're making money off of it. They know there's a problem over here, but that's not any of their concern, you know, probably along those.
Well,
along the same lines of what you're saying.
Well, they probably don't have a problem with it because if you're caught with more than a gram of fentanyl, you're executed. So that's a way to keep a lid on the population and their fentanyl use.
Yeah, and it's competitive pricing. I'm looking at it now on dancesafe.org. Fentanyl test strips, a box of 100 is $150.
Well, you know, the problem is the population that would be responsible enough to go get the test kit is not the population that's buying drugs on the street.
Sure.
So sadly, it's probably more for the paramedics keeping their rig.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that we were finding out after my son passed, was that these kids are going to parties and basically just someone has a handful of pills and everyone's just taking a pill out of it. No one's checking. No one. I mean, they're 18-year-olds, and they're not really interested in finding out necessarily what that is. They're just looking to get altered.
Was your son? Did he have a long-standing problem, or was he just the guy who showed up at a party, sort of like, well, we just heard that story out of Santa Monica or Venice. They had a house party and three comedians died and one overdosed. I think she lived. Was he just sort of wrong place at the wrong time, or was this an ongoing thing?
So one of the confusing things about it is, and one of the things that his friends were just didn't believe that this is what happened was he had come to us and talked to us about taking pills, like that he and some of his friends had been doing this, but he had seen a friend, he had a friend die from an overdose, and he had a friend who overdosed but came back from it, and he was just absolutely done with it. Now, he liked to party. Like, he liked to go out with his friends, bonfire, drink. We could not get him to stop smoking weed. Like, he was just, he liked to smoke. And I told him, I said, I think that it's really bad for you to make these decisions, but at the end of the day, alcohol and weed is just going to make you retarded. It's not going to kill you. I want you to stay away from the pills. And so it was, he had talked to us about it. And so the fact that he chose because of some sort of, I don't know if it was, I mean, I know he suffered from depression. I don't know what happened at that moment that he decided to take something that he'd gotten. There's no indication that he purchased it. I mean, the cops went all the way through his phone. The lady who sold it was arrested. And, you know, but there was no indication that he was out buying the stuff or seeking it out. He was getting, like, vape oils, for weed vape oils, and buying weed from her.
Did he take
stuff like
did
that.
He take just one pill?
Yeah, he had some others on him. And when the police officer showed up, because I was performing CPR, he told me not to give him mouth-to-mouth anymore, because he said if there's any residue in his mouth, you could overdose from it. Like,
oh my God.
Any residue, which was shocking to me. That it just takes that little bit. And that's one of the things that you find is that heroin addicts actually, that they say in the book, is that heroin addicts actually flock to these overdoses because it's no more maintaining. They're actually getting that feeling that they used to get, but their bodies have built up such a tolerance that it doesn't actually kill them. And we know a story of some people who told us after this, a guy and his girlfriend split a pill in half and took it, and she died and he didn't, and then he ended up committing suicide. But, yeah, I mean, it just doesn't take very much, especially if your body's not used to it.
Yeah, it'd be nice if that was something we focused a little more on, like China and fentanyl. You know, we're so into, you know, oh, they're using slave labor and producing Nike tennis shoes and stuff like that, which
no good.
Good thing to get to, yeah. But people aren't ODing left and right on Nike tennis shoes. So I'm sorry for your loss, Keith. But I appreciate you calling and sharing your story with us.
And Keith, I promise that somebody listening either is themselves just trying to, like, party every once in a while, or their kid is trying to party every once in a while, and I truly believe you have saved lives by calling us.
Well, I hope so. I want people to be aware that it doesn't take anything. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, the thing is that I even talked with some doctor friends of mine, and I said, when I was in high school, I took some Vicodin out of someone else's, out of, like, my parents' pill bottle, you know, when we were hanging out and partying and stuff like that. But this is totally different. I mean, it's not that, you know,
not regulated.
It's not regulated in any way. And it's just, the thing is that it only takes once, and then lives are changed forever just because someone has no idea what they're taking.
Thanks, Keith. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Take care.
Thank you.
Sad, yeah. Well, now we're there. I mean, it's you're hearing about, it's weird because we're hearing about this guy died and that guy died and those people died, but we're not really getting the full fentanyl story. Mm-mm. which would be nice. All right, happier calls and news. Alex from 46 from Maryland. Alex.
Hey.
Hi, guy.
How's it going?
Good.
Ace man, bald.
Yeah, we got off to a depressing start with Dr. Bodden and fentanyl, but
what you got?
You bring us back on track.
Back to the light. So as I said to the call screener, I, like Dr. Drew, I describe myself as a man of passion, but I kind of find that tiresome. Mm-hmm. After so many years, and I'm kind of hoping, like, is that going to wane?
Sometimes I do.
Like, kick me square in the nuts a couple of times.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
It's just so exhausting to
if I can talk to Drew. Drew, is it in fact true that you're still a man of passion?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, that didn't sound very passionate, but as long as that's affirmative, right?
Right.
All right, so it is in fact true you're a man of passion.
Right.
Okay. So, and I know Dr. Drew engages pretty frequently with his wife sexually, not because he tells me, but because...
Sometimes I do. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you do, because she will tell you.
Right.
If you go out to dinner with them, she will tell you that. Which, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old, but that's between you and Drew and his nutsack.
Crazy.
Yeah.
A little old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm. He was also telling me, I think he was telling us the time he was driving home and couldn't wait till he got home.
Oh, Roadhead?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh,
sounds crazy.
Yeah, Bedhead's a different thing, but yeah. Roadhead is its own. Yeah? Drew, yeah?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Affirmative?
Yeah.
Positive?
Yeah.
Thumbs up?
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we kind of got to the bottom of that one.
Hope that helped.
Hey, Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah. So your passion is not waning.
It is not.
It's waxing. And
I can't go for a simple run, you know.
Without raping?
You know, women running around.
What does that mean?
Yeah. It's not actual raping, just the dusting of thought, you know, impure thoughts. Let's say that. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
You know, difficult to go to a social activity, concert, you know, you sort of make eye contact with women and stuff. It's just a frustrating phenomenon.
Is this more so than when you were younger?
I know it's been pretty constant. That's why it's like, when does it frickin' stop, man?
Well,
and that's why I thought, like, you know, maybe I could just get one of my kids to just kick me a few times in the nuts, something that's just going to, like, you know, give me some downtime.
Right. Do you ever jog with your wife?
Yeah. We jog together.
How now? So here's an interesting thing. Drew is an exquisite man of passion, but he's laser focused on his wife's canal, which you're going to have replaced with silk tubing,
vaginal tubing,
soon because of the wear and the tear.
Right.
But a lot of guys, unfortunately, have this, and it's shotgun.
Oh, sure. Scattershot.
That's right.
Buckshot.
You can go a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
Are you laser focused on your wife, or is this a universal thing?
No, I'm laser focused on my wife, but you know, we've been married for 27 years, and let's just say it's not a mutual laser focusing situation.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
You get my drift.
I get it.
What do you think schedule wise? Like, if I could say you're good for 5 days a week, what do you think she's good for?
We do it.
Gina's getting married.
Well,
I could
tell you. We have what I like to refer to, because it's right on the bedstand, the sex calendar,
mm-hmm.
where we record the amount of times that it happens, because, you know, otherwise I get kind of, you know, whiny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. It's so hot, right?
I had a man, I'll leave his name out, but I had a man of passion over the weekend explain to me that for Valentine's Day, he gets like X amount of REM passes.
What? I think I know what you mean by that.
Which is my gift for you from a Valentine's Day perspective is 5 times this year, as the wife, you may wake me up.
Oh,
yeah, or
thank
not.
God. Okay, good. Thank
That's
God. That important
that
crucial step is in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that is not a two-way street.
No.
Like for Gina, I'd be like, you know what your gift is this year?
What?
You get to blow me up to 5 times
while
I'm asleep.
What about the tennis bracelet I asked for?
I'll put it around my hog.
Wait, I'm
sorry. See if you can suck it off.
Wait, this is your gift to me?
For Valentine's Day.
Right.
To show how much I love you.
Well, I figured I was going to give you something like that. That's
all right, I'm
going to
go take
me.
A nap. Wake me up with your mouth.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure.
Unless you don't want to burn one.
I just want to
make sure. Got a 3-day weekend coming up.
That's a good point. Let's just be clear. This is a present for me.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Let's make it 10 times a year.
Oh boy.
I'm really gonna up. I'm gonna up the ante. What'd I start with 5?
Yeah.
Let's make it. I'll go 10. Let's go double digits.
That's okay.
What'd you get me?
I got you a new bandsaw because that's what you said you wanted.
Oh, sweet.
And what did I get again?
you got what I call a REM pass. I mean, you can wake me up.
I get to wake you up giving you oral.
Right. What'd I say? 10 times. Up to 10 times this calendar year. But the good news is...
Do they roll over?
Well, they're not like vacation days on a federal job. But I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Next year for Valentine's,
yeah,
I'll get you the same gift, and then you'll restart with a fresh deck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, I feel like this is more of a present for you. So you got 2 presents. Well, actually, you got 11 presents.
I got the bandsaw.
Yeah, plus 10 blowjobs. So
up to 10.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm just failing to see what my gift is.
I'm letting you blow me up to 10.
But no more than.
Times... Up to 10
yeah.
times a year, but you may wake me up and do this. This is the rub. Just, I shall be asleep.
I see. So just so I'm clear, when you're dozing off, if I am just so filled with that exquisite passion that you speak of, that mm-hmm. I can't do anything until I make sure you have had a full release
mm-hmm.
into my mouth,
mm.
that is my gift.
Mm-hmm.
Your gift to me.
I'll tell you what. Feeling generous. Going to throw in three anals. Okay?
Wait, do I get to peg you 3 times?
So foolish. This is why I said to the jeweler, the tennis bracelet will never do. She's far too complex
really
for this.
You know what I mean?
That's the kind of thing I'd get my girlfriend.
Excuse me?
If I had a girlfriend. Oh, by the way, she's only got 5.
I don't like where this is going.
Look, first off,
yeah.
You're the queen bee. 10 blowjobs, randos, when I'm asleep, 3 anal. Now, Becky...
When I'm asleep?
No. When I'm asleep.
I see.
Sorry. Becky gets 5 blowjobs and only 1 rim
Becky?
Job.
What? What? Who's Becky and who's rimming her?
Well, I gave her the tennis bracelet.
What? You gave her my tennis bracelet?
Where's the bandsaw? Is that in the garage?
I will bring it to you forthwith. Cut your balls off.
And scene. Thank you.
So that would go.
Thank you for inspiring that.
Alex, a help?
Yeah. We're up against it, but there is a question for Brian about USC head coaching jobs. I don't want to leave him out of the mix. Mm. Who you looking? Did they hire a new head coach?
No, they fired their coach, Clay Helton.
Which everyone was happy about.
After game 2. Everyone was happy about it, weirdly enough. Adam, I know you like to fancy yourself a crystal brain. Mm-hmm. I like to think once in a while I have these thoughts. I'm over here, and I'm like, everyone's like, what are you doing over there? I'm like, you'll all be over here soon.
Mm-hmm.
You'll
that's
all
right.
be over here soon. Kalen, put up the tweet that that you found. Yes, that's 2017 after Clay Helton took over as midseason 2015. Quote, all my USC friends laughed at me when I told them early on that Clay Helton was not a great coach. That's many years ago. He's mm-hmm. been the coach ever since. This fucking buffoon has been running this prestigious program into the ground. I like to think I know a little bit about football. I can recognize good coaching, a well-coached team. And I'm like, this guy's an idiot. This guy's a buffoon. He's a nice guy. By all accounts, he's a class act. Just a bad coach. In over his head.
How does one get the nod for such a prestigious job?
Here's what happened. It was a tragic series of events. He took over in 2015, I think, when Sarkisian was let go for the drinking episodes.
Oh, I remember that.
And I think he took over in 2015, won like 4 out of 5 or something like that, finished the season hot. Players loved him. Players coach, right? He was assistant coach. Now the players love him. And the administration at USC was not strong-willed at that point. They're like, well, the players love him. Let's give him a 7-year contract. And we've been suffering ever since.
Thank God he's gone.
I don't care who they hired. I'm like a battered wife at this point. I just want someone to love me. I just want someone competent who can lead a program and recruit.
Mm.
Like,
nice
I'll take anyone who's up to the task.
I feel bad for you and your battered wife status. I'm going to throw 4 blowjobs at you.
Yeah, all right. See, things are looking up.
You don't get the blowjobs.
Yeah. And even a reach around because I'm feeling generous. All right. We got favorite tweets coming. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe wireless outdoor security camera. Big news. Simply Safe just launched their new wireless outdoor security camera. The system, U.S. News and World Report named Best Home Security of 2021. Well, it just got better. Engineered with the advanced tech and security features to help keep your family safe. Ultra wide 140-degree field of view. So you can watch over the whole yard. 1080p HD resolution, 8x zoom, so you can capture things clearly, faces and license plates and tattoos and things like that. built-in spotlight with color night vision as well, and it's simple to set up, takes just minutes. Easy to remove, rechargeable battery, doesn't need an outlet, so you don't have to hardwire this thing. To learn more, visit simplysafe.com/Adam. Simply Safe is celebrating their new camera by offering 20% off your entire new system and your first month free of monitoring service. So go to simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, quick break. We'll be back with some favorite tweets right after this.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, man. So I totally had a Pia Sidora moment with the Florida governor. I really thought his name was Rhonda DeSantis, and then I found out it was a male, and it's actually Ron DeSantis, so happens all the time.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Pia Sidora. All right, we got some liked tweets. We have a theme song to that?
We do, it's right here.
My favorite tweets.
Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Send him by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
All right, so first off, I just want to remind everybody, if anyone wants to tweet to Adam, follow him at Adam Carolla. And while I'm here, also subscribe to his YouTube page, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. He's posting a lot of new content on there, too. So this first tweet, this is from at ChuckMose2. He said, "You're right again, Adam. Another painfully obvious study shows that being around a farm, animal crap, and dirt as a kid makes you healthier. Toss the hand sanitizer," and Dawson has the article.
Yeah, I have many thoughts about this because today I had a long talk with Dr. Drew about cats and dogs and houses and haves and have-nots that'll dovetail into this. But I had a funny little thought with Sonny and Phil today, but go ahead, Dawson.
Children raised in a rural environment surrounded by animals and bacteria-laden dust grow up to have more stress-resilient immune systems and might be at lower risk of mental illness than pet-free city dwellers, according to new research published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The study, co-authored by researchers from Germany and the University of Colorado Boulder, adds to mounting evidence supporting the hygiene hypothesis, which posits that overly sterile environments can breed health problems.
It is, I mean, we get it. We've talked about this a lot. It's that be careful what you ask for. No free lunches in nature. Mm-hmm. Everyone's so busy trying to protect everyone from everything that they're actually doing more damage. Sort of bleeds into like school lockdowns or people doing home, you know, Zoom schooling, right, and then suicides and depression and stuff. Like, you really have to realize that there's rarely just a move that just lives in a vacuum. You cannot hermetically seal your kid in an apartment in Manhattan and bathe them in Purell and not have a part two,
right,
that nature will figure out a way to represent. But I was thinking about dogs because this morning, Phil went in the swimming pool early, and then he gets out, and then he just lays by Sonny's door, sopping wet. And then at some point, I let him into Sonny's room, and then Sonny wakes up because he's in bed, and he's like, "Phil, see?" And then there's the "oh no" when he finds out he went in the pool. Phil's 115 pounds, and when he gets sopping wet, it takes him days to dry. But I said, Sonny's coming in. And then Phil's like, I need up on the bed, you know. And Sonny's like, no, does he have to be on the bed? It's like, that's where he sleeps. And big wet Phil just climbed up onto the bed and sidled right up to Sonny. And I thought, good. That was, I was actually before I actually even read this. So also, I was thinking, it makes sense. We've talked about the outdoor dog versus the indoor dog. But I also kind of, when I was talking to Drew over the weekend, I sort of realized that you don't really need to get that deep into people's childhoods, which is, did you have a good childhood or didn't you? Because you can just go, did you have a dog? Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes there's sidebar answers like, my mom was allergic to dogs. All right, you're off. You're out of the discussion. Right. Or my dad was a Manhattan attorney and we lived in a penthouse and they wouldn't allow any. But if you lived in a home, did you have a dog? And if the answer is no, because every kid universally wants a dog.
Of course.
Every 9-year-old on the planet wants a dog. All they have to do, well, first off, half the TV shows they're watching at the time is someone and their pet. The other one is they then go to their friend's house and their friend has a dog and they love playing with it. Anyway, if you didn't have a dog, we don't need to continue with the questioning. Like, how often did you go snow skiing? Did your family own a boat? Did they own a yacht? Did you water ski? Right. Did you have a half-court basketball hoop in your backyard? The dog is the whatever. And, you know, it was funny because I was talking to Drew. I said, well, I had a cat. Mm-hmm. The cat goes before dog. But if you got a cat and cats maintain themselves, that's why, and ours just showed up at the door. Mm-hmm. So it didn't cost anything and they're self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. So
it's barely a pet.
There's no effort involved with having a cat from the Corolla standpoint, and the thing just showed up.
I was going to say just vacuuming the cat hair, but you guys didn't have a vacuum, right?
No, we did not.
Or anything to get cat hair on.
Right. That's a good point. So again, use that dog as a kind of a marker.
Yeah. A gateway happiness.
Yeah, because universally, every kid wants a dog. At some point, they're going to say, can we have a dog? And the parents that say no, who live in a house and never get their kid a dog, also said no to mini bikes and ponies and jet skis and everything that came after. I don't know, Gina, what was your dog status growing up?
We were a cat family. I was deathly allergic. Nobody gave a shit. So I grew up very, very sick my whole life. But I loved cats and I don't care. So we had three and they were my babies. But also, there's been a lot of hot Yorkie talk at the house. And I'm the holdout. Do I have to get a fucking Yorkie because the kid wants a Yorkie?
Why a Yorkie?
Or a French Bulldog, but I'm not a fan. I like fluffy
Frenchies
things.
Are good dogs.
I like fluffy dogs. Like, I want, you know, because I like cats. And, you know, I don't want, like, I love Phil, but that, like, spiky dog hair, like, it's not my vibe.
Yeah, I don't. The thing about kids is they get hard into stuff. Like, Natalia wanted me to build her a lazy river.
Holy shit.
What happened with that?
Yeah.
That's major construction. That's fucking Bellagio.
Yeah. And what you have to do is you have to weather the storm because they burn hard and bright.
Yes.
For a period of time and then they move on.
Yes. Because there was hamster talk and I've had a hamster. I hate hamsters. They're cute. They're adorable. They're nocturnal and they're on that fucking wheel all night. And who's going to end up cleaning after the hamster? So I'm the asshole and I may rethink it, but we'll see.
Would you have a dog?
I had no dog. My younger brother, Adam, and I begged our dad for a dog. And of course, he came back with the standard dad answer, which is, I'm going to end up taking care of it. And it's like, well, no, but okay. And then we never had a dog. We both have dogs now. Funny enough, Christy wanted a dog when she was younger and got a boxer. Her parents got like the family a boxer. It lasted 2 days.
What?
Christy's dad's a good grandpa and a mellow dude, but like back in the day, he was prone.
I like the front loading.
He was prone to outbursts, famously prone to outbursts. I think on day one or two, he threw the dog out of the house. Mm-hmm. Literally threw it out the back
door. Was the house moving?
No, the house not moving. The back door was open. Okay. Threw the dog on the lawn, and the next day the dog was gone.
Oh.
I never quite got an answer why.
That's horrible.
That's good for...
These are people who named their kids Christy and Chris.
Sure.
I feel like that's good for, you know, we should assign these numbers, but that's good for like 4.5 days of therapy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know, brother commits suicide. Yeah. That's good for 9 months of therapy, but through the two-day-old boxer out the
Not
back door.
Not even a week.
That's still some therapy must be dedicated to
you
that.
You still tell
subject.
Me about the memory of watching the dad drive away with the dog in the trunk and then return the dog. Supposedly, hopefully.
And he didn't even lie to her about the farm, the dog.
No, 2 days, like,
God.
We can't do this.
Well, at least he squeezed the trigger, but yeah.
So to speak.
Both times.
Yeah, I got to say, this conceit that dads would do, my dad never got to the point. My dad was like a serial killer versus a guy who, you know, commits vehicular manslaughter. The vehicular manslaughter guy's got a story for the cops. It was a Christmas party and it was raining outside. The guy
came out of nowhere.
The elderly guy was wearing a black hoodie and the street light was out.
Hey.
My dad was just like, I kill because I like the sight of blood. You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting a dog. No explanation. Not like, you know, I'm going to end up because, you know, I'm going to end up is now negotiation where you go, how about if I promise that I'll take clean up all the poop and feed them all the kibble that you and if I stop doing that, you can take my dad didn't even go down that road. His thing was like no answer.
Wow.
No answer. So, but I also like the conceit, like. That the dad can't do anything, you know?
Yes.
Like, I'm going to have to be the one who's going to have to buy the kibble. Like, yeah, okay.
And
that's
$12
later. Dads do.
Yeah.
Guess who buys all the kibble at the Corolla house? Not my dad. This dad. Yeah. Like, yes, there's stuff you do because you're the dad.
Yeah.
You have a dog.
You have a dog.
Yeah.
You have a job and a dog. Yeah. And yes, you may refill the water bowl from time to time. Yeah, I just love this. Like, the second I enter the home, I must be carried to my Barca lounger. I can do no more.
Honey, can we get a bed? Who did this end up making it every morning?
Who's going to set it up? All right. Do you have that rolling memorial one, Chris?
Yeah, so this one was tweeted at you by Mr. Parker, WPHS, and he wrote, and you thought the rolling memorial was depressing before, and he posted this picture.
Which is a picture on the back of a RAV4 or something.
This,
oh.
Magnum.
The dog. Rest in peace. With the dates.
Yeah. In loving memory of Magnum.
He
made it 10 years plus. Yeah. But depressing.
For certain breeds, that's good.
Yeah, for big dogs like that
this,
one.
Who's this really for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The rolling memorial.
Oh, dude, 2010. That's fucking 11 years ago.
Yeah, it's 10 and a half years old dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just doing the math now. Like that. This has been on there for a while.
Well, we don't know the
date
the picture was taken, but I'm guessing it's a recent photo of a Dodge. Wait, is that a Prowler or, goddamn it. No, I think it's a Plymouth.
Plymouth.
Yeah, or
oh, that's a PT Cruiser.
PT Cruiser. So already the person has questionable judgment and values to purchase a PT Cruiser, number one. Number two, I am slightly more bumped about the dog passing than I am about the young gangbanger.
Bumped in the way that you're irritated or you're sympathetic?
I'm irritated. It makes me think. I have to think about your dog.
Yeah.
Your dog died. Yeah. Everyone has a dog that died. Everyone who had a dog has a dog who's died.
That is true.
Has experienced that. There's no reason to plaster that upon every moving vehicle.
I couldn't agree more. I also, and if this is you and if this is how you grieve, God bless you. But after I had to care for a very elderly animal who was very sick and make the choice to have the person come to the house. I was hysterical. I'm not one that like does a lot of like Facebook posts and like remember all these pictures. Like I don't want, it's too painful for me. So why am I foisting that on you?
Right.
But people like to do that.
I have an elderly dog and I've never had a dog die because this is my first dog.
Oh,
I've been
boy.
Mentally preparing myself
now
for the last couple of years because he's like, I don't know, 12 or 13. I'm like, he's got a couple of years left. Best
Maybe
case
it's
scenario.
Time to blow a call into Chrissy's dad.
Drop him off.
Save Tessa heartache of, you know, going to the vet.
I totally understand. I've been trying to mentally prepare myself for the inevitable for the last couple of years.
You know, Nate, who I make all the movies with, between his brother in Montana, who just literally goes full old Yeller with the dog, and Christy's dad, like, I feel like they would make
quite a team.
Quite no sitting for them. You do not want them sitting your dog. Like, what
Father
happened?
Son assassin team.
I feel like the dog had the sniffles, so we put him down.
No, he was totally fine when we left. In fact, he was wagging his tail. He couldn't wait to play with you. He brought you his favorite toy.
You know, with dog years, maybe he would have made another 21 years, but that's only three for us.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to play fetch. He had never had more energy.
He just won blue ribbon in the competition.
I
agility drills.
There's a funny Nobel Prize jiu-jitsu story that somebody tweeted me that I thought was good. Kind of reminded me of my grandmother and Bald Brian's grandmother as well.
Yeah, so this is a Kenzaburo Oe. He's a Nobel Prize winner, and his quote is, "As a child, I promised my mother I would win the Nobel Prize in physics. 50 years later, I said to my mother, 'See, I have kept my promise. I won the Nobel Prize.' 'No,' said my mother, 'you promised it would be in physics,' because he was awarded the 94 Literature Prize."
Ah, that's
damn
good.
Yeah, now hopefully she was kidding, but who knows?
Were your grandmothers kidding? No. How you're talentless and charmless?
Yeah, charmless.
Doesn't have the charisma.
Right.
I lacked charisma and
was she
charm. No,
there
she was,
you go.
She was not. She was on camera and she was stating it to the camera for posterity. She knew she wouldn't be around to degrade me emotionally.
For future generations.
So it needed to be captured.
Yeah.
This dude's got range, by the way. The physics Nobel Prize was in his wheelhouse, and he won it for literature.
Yeah.
I know.
Underachiever.
Fucking A.
It also reminded me of a tweet that somebody sent to me about Burt Reynolds' mom, the great Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, so this is at Sean318. He says, "I'm watching the I Am Burt Reynolds doc, and his mom says something very Grandma Carole-esque. Quote, 'Bert was always popular with the girls in high school, but I could never see why.'"
Mean.
What is that doc on? Because I'm going to watch the shit out of that.
It's on like a Canadian streaming channel. I tried to watch it, and this guy's in Canada. So
There's that whole I Am series, like I Am Chris Farley, and I Am. So I would think you might be able to find something like that on A&E, but.
Well, we'll let Bald Brian's fingers do the walking. He can look for that. We are going to be in Solana Beach, and that'll be tonight as you hear this, doing a live ACS show and then a stand-up show as well. Adam Ray is going to join us, and then stand-up at beautiful Park West. That'll be this Friday, September 24th as well. Do we have an outro, or is Brian looking for that and looking for Burt Reynolds?
Here we go. Here it is.
He'll rant on and he'll never get tired. Keep sending him the tweet till life.
Soulful.
All right. Well, you can look up, Brian, where we might find that I Am Burt Reynolds, because I love that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you guys about Alto IRA. Own Bitcoin, Ethereum, or another cryptocurrency. It's an exciting investment opportunity. But what about taxes with an Alto crypto IRA? You can trade crypto and avoid or defer the taxes. Alto's crypto IRA is the easy way to get crypto into an IRA. Create an account in just a few minutes. Invest with as little as 10 bucks. No setup charges. Secure trading 24/7 through Alto's integration with Coinbase. 60 plus coins available, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Cardano. Multiple ways to fund your account. Make a cash contribution, transfer cash from an existing IRA, or roll over an old 401k. Am I right, Dawson?
Ready to take your investments to the next level? Diversify like the pros and trade without tax headaches. Open an Alto Crypto IRA with as little as $10. Just go to altoira.com/Adam. That's altoira.com/Adam. Start investing in a cryptocurrency today. Go to altoira.com/Adam.
Anything, Brian?
It's not on any of the major streaming services, but it is on something called Crave.ca.
That's the Canadian one, Chris said,
a Canadian service. So but, sign up for that, eh?
But star-studded. Joan Namath, John Voight, Lonnie Anderson, Peter Bogdanovich, Sally Field, Mary Lou Henner. Everybody's in it.
I bet Mary Lou Henner knows the day of the week that she met Burt Reynolds. All right. Be Real from Cypress Hill and Beyond is going to join us and tell us all about his crazy story right after this.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.